true to the course as I could. But the sirens are hard to ignore. Once you open up to the song, you'll go down, down, down before I'm long.
Got a bad heart, got a mean streak, a good way of leaving you weak. Got time to kill, but time don't equal love. Just reminds you of the water, the water we can't get above.
The sirens will take.
She Everybody, I'm Gloria Lubitz. I'm an ex-Rockette, and I know show business. Okay, now when I point to you, state your name, job, and talent. Last name first name last, and middle initial, if any. Okay, let's start with number one.
That's us. Come on, stand up.
Well, I'm number one. Squidman, musician, Andrew, truck driver. No middle initial.
What are you going to do for us today? Drive your truck?
Low blow.
I tell you where we're going to park it, son.
We're a musical combination. Lenny and the Squig Tones. I'm Lenny.
And I'm the Squig Tones.
Look, can we get on with this? Yes.
All right, we can get on with it. Testing, testing.
Over here. We're back here.
The song is called Star-Crossed.
Star-Crossed, and it's dedicated to Joanne, and she knows who I am.
I live on the north side. She lives on the west. The west is the worst side. The north is the best.
Her mother's a drunk. Her father's a punk. Wait a minute. The show will be over by then.
Exactly. However, Leonard, I like the way you play. I can use you Leonard. With some of the other acts.
Oh, yeah, ain't terrific.
You traitor.
Listen, show business is like a lifeboat, Squiggy. Only the talented women and children survive.
What does that make me?
Vamos a cantar otra de las canciones que la hemos hecho. Tiene muchos años esperando que la recuerden. Y que la cante con nosotros, a ver si se la saben. Esto que hicimos, que dice...
Salieron de San Isidro. We'll be right back.
Gracias, con todo gusto. Gracias.
Sinking on deeper down. My eyes are burning. muchachas enojadas.
Like I did before, but before you smile and walk through the door, darling, I don't wanna cry. I don't wanna cry.
I was moving towards the fringes, and I'm not doing that anymore. I see why it's wrong.
So you've become this huge sensation. What's next for you? Like, I'm trying to figure out. Are you the next Marshall McLuhan? Are you the next Billy Graham? Like, are you a prof? Or are you
Billy McLuhan? I don't know what's next, really.
So you're a profit?
Well, you know, we're in a new world in many ways because of the reach of social media. And so I have this immense multimedia platform, and I don't know exactly what to do with it. I mean, what I'm doing right now with it is making videos that I think are useful to people, interviewing people that I think are interesting to talk to. But I'm sort of shaping this as it's developing because there's no way of predicting it. And the overwhelming likelihood, as far as I'm concerned, and it's been this way ever since September of 2016, is that this will go terribly wrong. That's the most likely outcome. I've known that ever since I made those
videos.
What
do you mean by that?
I think it's unlikely that it will continue in a positive direction, but you never know. It's too much, eh? That's the thing. It's been too much for a long time, but so far so good, and I'll ride it out as well as I can. But I'm surfing a 100-foot wave, and generally what happens if you do that is that you drown.
She drives around L.A. in her convertible with her arms, body all tattooed, singing stuff from 50, 60 years ago. Very nice. So we have here everybody's lines open. Van, you're back. Did you have something you want to get into right away? Van? Okay. Rich. Rich.
Yeah, what's up? I was just on mute. I was just chilling, waiting.
Anything you want to talk about?
Oh, I do not believe so. Okay, maybe. I watched that video that you have on YouTube about time in Ion and like how like time doesn't exist and like how you're explaining like crop circles and like the Pleiadians or something, like just trying to open up communication. So they're just doing this in like some really random ways to like see if that can happen. I mean, that was pretty cool. People really are attached to time though. Like, I can't really like show it to anybody and talk about it because nobody wants to talk about it. So that's that story. And it's like,
well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, it's like, there's like an interesting, like the thing you were saying, and like I've heard it before, right? How Ion's like, you have a orchard full of fruit and, you know, the fruit's there to be eaten. And so the universe has no problem with you just going in and taking fruit. It's not actually a crime, but it's been made a crime through our public understanding and things like that. And it's an interesting way to look at it because...
Did he mention reaping what you sow? Because that's the idea that we should sow what we reap.
Yeah, that whole
So people reap what they sow. Sounds like karma. But Ein says, let's sow what you reap. And the orchard you reaped it.
Yeah. So
even though you weren't seen to labor. So you know that whole property thing comes in with the printing press, right?
Right.
And now we don't have property. Everybody's just kind of floating free under incredible stress because they don't know what they own anymore. They don't know who owns what. See, that's the big picture here, the tension, the drama between the new propertylessness that McLuhan predicted in Understanding Media, nomadic culture, no specific location to stay with and to lock down. Just flip your house, make rent impossible.
Yeah, there's a lot of articles I was just like looking at talking about how impossible it is for everybody to live in the Bay Area and yada, 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 not in my backyard kind of principles and stuff like that. It's interesting. It's like, it's just an interesting way to look at something, and I'm trying to like, kind of bring it into my capitalist mindset that I have to start from absolute square one of like nothing.
Okay, look at it this way. There's no finish line and no categories dominate. Every culture celebrates itself for 15 minutes and it's canceled out by the other cultures. So because we never get to the end time and we never get to the cataclysm and we never get to the full success, that's the interval, the incompleteness, incompletion that we're experiencing.
Right.
And you never fully own anything anymore. Banks don't save money for you. They get rid of it as soon as possible. But
right.
It doesn't mean an ultimate destination.
How so?
Well, nothing can stay in dominant form for very long. It's canceled by so many other environments, moods, publics, memes, so it's a constant shifting, which is the evergreen definition of the second coming, a time of perpetual change with no finish line.
I tell people about that. Well, that's why.
How do they take it?
Life, and it's a life of perpetual change. Like, I haven't stayed anywhere, haven't done anything to their mandate. I have literally, like, no commitment to anything, and I have no ability to commit to anything. But it's like, it's a trick, right, because you're always facing the traditional previous paradigms of...
Now, that's a good point there. I was just going to get into that. So because nothing's finished, you still got to be part fascist, part capitalist, part communist, part stuck in time, part anarchist, part monarchist, whatever else I left out. So you're always shifting and from one form to another, and that includes time. So there's still a bit of time to play with.
What do you mean?
Ion calls it the false premise of time. You can actually mold it in your favor. So we're not getting rid of the non-physical completely. We're not getting rid of the physical completely. we end up in the middle.
It's like time sometimes really does just disappear, though.
Yeah.
And so it's, I'm trying to use it as like a mandate. Like, it's, I don't know.
Here's what I recommend. There's a book called The Great War and the Language of Modernism. It's about World War One in England in particular, and Ezra Pound, T.S. Eliot, and Virginia Woolf, and how they reacted to the liberal government's attempt to justify their war with a lot of old platitudes from the 19th century. But it's all about the breakdown of language and time. Not so much space, but space is mentioned once, but time. So the collapse of time in analog media 100 years ago, that's being replayed by the Android meme within its own terms. So it's collapsing time, not us. We already had time collapse, and our language collapsed 100 years ago. So I recommend this book, The Great War and the Language of Modernism by Vincent Sherry. It really explains a good part of my chart. So you're going to have to do some reading there. You may be a capitalist, but you're going to have to do a little bit of reading. It's a very hard book to read, too.
I got War and Peace in the Global Village.
Good.
Bought it.
That's a tremendous book.
Did those readings from...
Yeah, how did you get it? Secondhand? Used bookstore?
Amazon. It was like $6.
Oh, that's all right.
It's like, yeah, not bad. It's an old version from the 60s.
Right.
Kind of cool.
But it's got great pictures, great quotes of Phineas Wake, very advanced percepts and ideas. It's one of his best books.
Cool. Yeah, I'm like supposed to read it.
So what you do is you'll be reading the middle column, and then you're going to figure out why he puts this strange Finnegan's Wake quote beside it. And it's all the way through the book, the juxtaposition of the Finnegan's Wake quotes with certain themes he's playing with. And, you know, super McLuhan scholar you'd have to be to get it, to really understand why he put that quote beside that section. That's the ultimate test for understanding McLuhan and Finnegan's Wake, that book. So it's,
cool.
Don't
I got the,
think you're going to get it all right away. It's very advanced.
I got that one from 1968, this one. This
yes. And the big
cool.
The big think is in the last page, 190.
The turtle?
That's a huge...
Lead kind of foul, they always did. Ask the ages what bird has done yesterday, man may do next year, be it fly, be it molt, be it hatch, be it agreement in the nest.
Right, that's Phineas Wake. What page is that? Phineas Wake?
I guess it's
it says
112.
FW at the
112.
What?
112, yeah, 112.
Yeah, 112. That's the very top. Lead, Conley, foul. They always did. Now, and that's a pun on fool, French for crowds, F-O-U-L-E. The crowd is always led, which would be media dynamics, the collective archetypes. So now read at the top, read that page out loud to us. It's the biggest thought you'll ever get, people.
The 190?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, nervous system, end parentheses, comma, which we call technologies, can be substituted throughout this passage for the word species. Today, the new species are, thanks to the speeding up of intercommunication, those environments which had formerly been habitats. All media or technologies, languages, as much as weaponry, create new environments or habitats, which become the milieu for new species or technologies. The evolutionary habits of the biologist since Darwin were the old nature, which has now been transcended by satellite and radar. The biologist used two other categories that are helpful for perceiving the relation between the end of nature today and the problem of understanding the future of the media and technology. They speak of outbreeding. Inbreeding, as Mark said, most animals are essentially outbreeding
microorganism injury with electricity. All of this has changed totally. At present, the environment in the world has become a microorganism. It is the total individual cultures of the world, linguistically and politically, that have become the mammals, according to the old classifications of evolutionary hypothesis. It is the cultural habitat in which we have long been accustomed to think that people were contained that has now become the mammal itself, now contained in the new macrocosm of connubium, of a superterrestrial kind. Our technologies, or self-amputation, and the environments, or habitats, which they create, must now become that matrix of that macrocosmic connubial bliss derided by the evolutionist.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
And Cage. I mean, yeah, I'll have to read it again.
But, yeah, read it again out loud. You don't have to start at the very top. That's the end of a sentence, like the first complete sentence start with at the top.
Okay. Today, the new species are, thanks to the speeding up of intercommunication, those environments which had formerly been habitats. All media or technologies, languages, as much as weaponry, create new environments or habitats, which become the milieu for new species or technology. The evolutionary habitats of the biologist since Darwin were the old nature, which has now been transcended by satellite and radar. The biologist used two other categories that are helpful for perceiving the relation between the end of nature today and the problem of understanding the future of media and technology. They speak of outbreeding and inbreeding, as Marder puts it. Most animals are essentially outbreeders, most microcosms inbreeders. With electricity, all this has changed totally. At present, the entire mammalian world has become the microorganismic, has become the microorganismic. It is the total individual cultures of the world, linguistically and politically, that have become the mammals, according to the old classifications of evolutionary hypothesis. It is the cultural habitat in which we have long been accustomed to think that people were contained that has now become the mammal itself, now contained in a new macrocosm of connubium, of a superterrestrial kind. Our technologies, or self-amputation, and the environments or habitats which they create must now become that matrix of that macrocosmic connubial bliss derided by the evolutionists.
The evolutionists, yeah. So that's a good description of today. That's the Android meme. That's why you have to be quadriphenic. You have to put on so many different environments, which are macro species, but they're also shrinking, too. But you still got a lot of them to contend with. To say what you are is not going to benefit you if you stick to one category, other than quadriphenia, which is a category for no categories.
Right.
So that was written 50 years ago, and it's a separate section at the end of the book called A Message to the Fish, A Further Message to the Fish Fresh Out of the Water. And he takes this evolutionary quote and he puts in the word media for species. So that's what you were reading the end of that section. So you're not going to – what is macrocosmic connubial bliss? See, what the hell is that? How come that's a large environment? That's Ion. That's Rai returning to the plane of essence.
What does connubial mean?
Marriage, like married.
Oh, yeah.
Marriage bliss. Marriage of heaven and hell, heaven and earth. What is it, the marriage of the supper and the lamb?
I don't know. What? In what way? What?
That's from the Bible. You want to explain that?
Oh, yeah.
Ginny,
yeah, I am.
Want to explain marriage of the supper and the lamb?
Yes, I will explain, Bob. I will explain to this wonderful young person that the non-physical God that you are is in complete and total intact at the very tip of your fingernail, and it's that close to you, and then your physical self. And the marriage supper of the Lamb is the merging of your full non-physical and your physical in this life right here in the dirty here and now.
Excellent.
Right.
Did you get that?
Cool. Yeah.
That's cool, Judy. Very cool.
That was an awesome description. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Is it a marriage of heaven and earth, Ginny? Not heaven and hell, right?
It's not marriage of heaven and earth. It's just on earth as it is in heaven.